Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church. And hope you've had a great day today. I hope you are looking forward to gathering around God's Word, around the TV screen or laptop screen or even phone screen, and just gather around God's Word tonight midweek to get a word from Him. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have to do so. And like we always say, and we don't say it just to say it, but we are honored and we are overjoyed to be able to stand one more time and proclaim God's Word to God's people. And so today was Inauguration Day of Joe Biden, and I just want to, you know, remind everyone, as I remind myself, that no matter who's in office, it is our Christian obligation under God to pray for him and to pray for them. And so tonight, we're going to do that. And we're going to pray for America tonight and the future of America and our world, and pray that God would direct the administration that we have now, and that their hearts might be directed to God. And so we're trying to be as optimistic as we can in these last days that we're here on earth before the Lord comes. But nonetheless, we are in the patriotic mood tonight, and just wanting to represent our country. And so we have the flags out tonight on the forefront of the stage. Of course, the American flag and the Christian flag, because this is one nation under God. And we are giving God his rightful place. Not that we could not give God his rightful place, but we're giving him his rightful place, praying that there'll be a move of God in these last days. So again, welcome tonight. And we're going to dive right into some of our prayer requests. And let's continue to remember Miss Catherine Plemons' mother, Miss Marge, as she continues with difficulty. And Miss Catherine was home with her last Sunday. She had some extra issues going on. Miss Marge is and has. So let's continue to remember her in prayer. Miss Catherine is well, and Brother Ceylon. Many of you know, and we actually had a Facebook post on our church page a couple days ago, but Brother Randy Ely's mother went home to be with the Lord. And this week, they actually had a private service for her. And so let's just remember the family concerning the days ahead. But it was the testimony of Brother Randy that his mother loved to listen to preaching, and she loved to sing gospel music. 94 years old, and so we are praising the Lord for the homegoing of she's finally at home, and she's well, and she's healed. But we just celebrating her life with Brother Randy Ely at the same time. So let's remember these requests. Let's continue to remember Brother Arnold McCricker in his home recovery of his kidney surgery. Melissa Slagle, Mary Rich, our children's home, Don and Carla Rich, Alan and Terry Clayton, Lauren and Rhett Hancock, and Miss Patty and her health. We mentioned Ceylon and Catherine and her mother already. But James and Shirley Townsend, Jim and Don Daly, James Daly, the Teagues, her brother, Miss Connie's brother Bill, let's continue to remember him. Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano, Barbara Anderson, and let's remember her in our prayers. If you haven't had the opportunity to go by and see her, you're missing out on a blessing. It's a window visit just outside the nursing home here in the Rehabilitation Center here in Powder Springs. But last week we were able to make a visit with her, and the light, the sun was shining through the window. I couldn't even see her. The only thing that I could see when I was talking with her on the phone, she was on her phone, I could see her mouth, and when she would smile real big, And so the whole time, our whole conversation, I couldn't even see her. I could just see her smiling. But that was enough. It was a great time. But don't miss out on a blessing. Please go by if you can and see her. Rusty and Chris Watkins, let's remember them. Brother Harold Dolph, Joe and Lynn Vandiver, Jenny Clanton, Randy, and again, Brother Randy, Sister Diane Ely, but Diane's brother who has cancer. And Mary and Sandy, Jeff and Sharon Hodges, their son-in-law Chris, who's battling some physical ailments, Cassie Karanovich, Gerald and Francis Carroll, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Eddie and Joanne Rich, Ashley, Aiden, Bentley, and Eli. Let's remember our shut-ins, which includes the McCrickards, but also Joyce Manning and some others as well. James Tolan Brown, our Marine. Friend of ours, Miss Kim Merritt over at Pleasant Hill, who's fighting cancer. And again, let's remember the new administration that's in the White House. And let's pray that God will direct them and pray that they would direct their hearts toward God and that we might see some peace in our land before Jesus comes. We know ultimately that Jesus is the one that's going to bring peace to the land. And so we know how the story ends anyway. Tonight, let's just remember all of those who are battling the COVID. Let's remember those who are rehabbing from that, those who want to come to church but have underlying conditions and cannot come. We will be having service this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And so if you're willing and able and can, please come and be with us. And you will not regret coming. All right, we're going to pray and we're going to dive right into the scriptures tonight. And we hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you as it was for us as we prepared. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for you, Lord, and for who you are and for the things that you do. Lord, tonight we cast all of our cares upon you. Father, for those who are not well, those who are at home and have underlying conditions and they want to come to church, but they can't. God, I pray that you just continually visit with them in a very special way. Be real to them in their homes. And Father, for those who could come, but possibly have came complacent in their Christian life, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them with cords of love back to your house, Lord, so that they can worship you and be where they need to be. And for all of us who come regularly, Lord, I pray that you would protect us from getting sick, that we might keep your doors open and God's word might continue to get out, not only on Facebook, but in person, Lord. Worship is so different in person compared to Facebook, But Father, we'll take what we can get and we'll worship you with it. We pray for all of these on our prayer list that you would be with everyone, every life, every person, every situation tonight. And Father, we do pray for America. Lord, we realize that there is a new administration in office. And Father, we, in the spirit of patriotism, in the spirit of Christianity, Lord, we pray that they would seek your face. Lord, that they would solve issues within their own hearts before they even began to solve issues in America. And only you, God, can guide the hearts to do so in the right way. Father, tonight we pray for protection across our land, our borders. Lord, we pray for our churches, Lord. We pray, Lord, that free speech will be able to continue, God, and our gun rights and all of those things, Lord, that make up our Constitution, Father. We pray that freedom will reign and freedom will continue, and that those things, Lord, that the President and the Vice President laid their hand on the Bible and they, oh God, they swore into office that they would uphold that Constitution, Lord, I pray they'll do so. Father, so that our kids can experience the kind of land we've experienced and the kind of freedom that we've experienced growing up. But Lord, unless you show up and you inhabit this land and our world, Lord, everything's in vain and nothing will get done. So, Father, to that end we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight we're going to be in the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter number 1 tonight. 1 John chapter number 1 is where we're going to be tonight for just a few moments. And in 1 John chapter number 1, of course this is the epistles of John, not the gospel of John. And you go to 1 Peter, 2 Peter, then you'll find the first epistle of John. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. In 1 John chapter number 1, I want you to notice two verses tonight, and that is verse number 6 and verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6. Notice what the scriptures say. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. These two verses this evening deal primarily with fellowship. In fact, the word fellowship is mentioned one time in each verse. So it deals with fellowship. Fellowship between God and the believer. Tonight, with that in mind, I'd like to preach for just a few moments on this subject, fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping with God. When we say and we use the word fellowship, what do we mean? Well, when we say fellowship, we mean a unified activity between the two. We're talking about a partnership or a compliance and a fellowship, fellowshipping with God. We're talking about a unified activity or activities between the two. A partnership, a compliance between us and our God. And when there's compliance between the believer and his God, there is fellowship. There is communion. There's a partnership. When there's a partnership between us and the Lord, there's fellowship. And fellowship tonight is important in every believer's life. In fact, our joy and peace and contentment come from an active partnership with God. It comes from an active compliance from us to the Lord. Fellowship is important in the believer's life. Our joy comes from fellowshipping with God. Our peace comes when we fellowship with the Lord. Our contentment comes when we have this active relationship with Jesus. Fellowship is important in the believer's life. One person said one time, "Hey, buddy, you want to know what fellowship means? Basically, fellowship is two fellows in a ship." Think about that. Fellowship. It's two fellows in a ship. They're in unity. And there was decision in that ship. And as a result of that, there was joy and peace to be found in that ship. In order for those two fellows in that ship to have unity, they have to row in the same direction. They have to go in the same direction. And when they're going in the same direction, there is fellowship between the two fellows in the ship. Now, let me say this before we get into the message. Dependent upon the depth of the relationship between man and his God will determine the level of fellowship he experiences. I want to say that again. Dependent upon the depth of the relationship between man and his God, that will determine the level of fellowship they experience. Tonight, if a believer doesn't have a close relationship with his God, there will not be much fellowship. What kind of fellowship will a person have with just another ordinary person if they never talk, if they never spend time together? There won't be much a fellowship there. That relationship will be very shallow. Tonight, there's a lot of marriages that are shallow based. They say goodnight to one another, man and wife. They greet each other in the morning, but there's no kind of communication. And I want to say that a lot of marriages go off the tracks when there's no communication between the two. There's a relationship there, but there's not much of it. And because of that, there's not much fellowship. And so tonight, if a believer doesn't have a close relationship with his God, there will not be much fellowship. There will not be joy. There will not be peace and love. And there will not be contentment. And tonight, that explains the reality in a lot of believers' lives. Those who have trusted Jesus as Savior, they have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, but there's not much of a relationship there. There's not much of a communication there. There's not much of a spending time together there. Not that God doesn't want to spend time with them, but it's just that they are not spending much time with God. And because of that, there's no fellowship. There's no love. There's no joy. There's no peace and patience. There's no contentment. Now, tonight I'm not saying that if you fellowship with the Lord daily, if you read His Word and pray, I'm not saying that you won't ever worry or you won't ever, your peace won't ever be interrupted, but there is a difference. Because when you are in an active relationship with Jesus and you are taking your burdens to the Lord and you're praying and you're bringing everything to Him to the best of your ability, you're reading God's Word and you're doing all that you possibly can, you will have access to the benefits. And we're standing in grace, the Scriptures say, as a believer. We have access to the throne room of God. And if we have access to the throne room of God, if we are standing in grace, as Romans 5 says, then we will have the ability to not worry when we want to worry. We will have the ability to be content when we don't want to be content, because we know that it's the right thing to do. And so tonight, a person that has a shallow relationship with Jesus are more apt to do things out of the flesh. And so tonight we need to have a tighter relationship with the Lord. And then when we do that, we will have greater fellowship. Tonight I want to mention some things primarily out of verse number 7. And what can we learn from verse number 7 about fellowshipping with God? Well, there's four things I want to mention, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you as they were to me. Number one, we can learn there is a condition. We can learn that fellowship with God is conditional. Notice what he says in verse 7. But, notice this next word, if. If, this is a conditional promise we have here. Some promises in the Word of God, they're set. They're finished. But other promises are conditional. with a lost person, someone who doesn't know that they're saved and doesn't have that assurance of Jesus and heaven in their heart. The Bible says in Romans 10, in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and shalt believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's conditional. If thou shalt confess. We have another conditional promise here. Again, this is John writing to the believers. And he's saying that you can know God, you can be in great standing with God positionally, but practically, on a daily basis, you can be out of communion with God. One writer said it this way: our union will never be broke from God, but our communion can be broke or disturbed from God. And so there's a condition here. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so John includes himself. Look what it says, the same phrase again. But if we, John is including himself in the verse here. He is saying that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so tonight there is a condition that we can learn from this verse concerning our fellowship with God. Now, I want you to notice something else that jumped out to me. And really, it's a statement. We have to position ourselves where He's at in order to have fellowship. We have to position ourselves. And so you ask, where is He? He's in the light. Look what the verse says again. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. So where is God tonight? He's in the light. He is the light. If you notice back in verse number 5, the Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, which God is light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so tonight, it's conditional, and we have to position ourselves in the light. You say, what are you talking? What is light? Describe it further, Brother Justin. I will. He is the light of truth and righteousness. He is holy, and He is just. He is wholesome and good. There is no darkness nor shadow of turning in Him. He is all truth. He doesn't tell us one thing and then change His mind. God cannot lie tonight. And He is not affiliated with sin nor the appearance of sin. He is light and truth. He is everything that's good and just in life. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, wherein there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. And so tonight, God is light. He is the light, and He is in the light, the Bible says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And so we have to position ourselves in the light. I like what Matthew 6, verse 24 says. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And so he's talking about, Matthew there is talking about making a decision and positioning yourself. Either you're going to position yourself in darkness, or you're going to position yourself in light. No man can serve two masters. And think about this tonight. Suppose someone tries to position themselves in the middle of darkness and light. What is that called? Well, it's called something. There's darkness and there's light. But you see, when darkness and light mix, it's called twilight. Twilight. It's right before the sun comes up in the morning, before it burns off the darkness. It's right before dusk at night, before the sun goes down. There is a mix between light and darkness, and it's called twilight. And if you want to know the truth tonight, I feel as though in these last days in which we're living in, especially during this time of pandemic, there have been a lot of Christians who have grown complacent when it comes to worshiping the Lord. And they're trying to place themselves somewhere right there in the middle. Well, have you ever heard of the old show called The Twilight Zone? The Twilight Zone. It was an old show, I believe, from the 60s. It was black and white. And it was in this Twilight Zone where there were strange things that took place. There were scary things that took place in the Twilight Zone. There were unfinished stories in the Twilight Zone. There were things unexplainable happening in the Twilight Zone. And I want to say tonight that there are a lot of believers worldwide who are living their life in the Twilight Zone. There are things unexplainable that happen. There are things that happen that are not good in the Twilight Zone. And so my charge to everyone tonight, including myself, is to not live my Christian life in the Twilight Zone, but choose you this day who you'll serve. And I want to have fellowship with God. I want to position myself the right way. And I must position myself in the light because that's where he's at. You know, the Bible never tells us to dabble in darkness. The Bible never tells us it's okay to adventure off in the dark. But it tells us to actually shun the appearance of evil. Anything that has evil, the appearance of evil, that stamp on the front of something, the believer is not to have that in their life. You see, because we are a light, we're the light. Jesus in us is that light, and we're not to let our light shine. I mean, we're to let our light shine, but we're not to hide it under a bushel. And so many times a believer's light is hid because of darkness under that bushel. But you see, he tells us to put it up on a candlestick because it gives light to the whole room. And whenever there is light there, there's the absence of darkness. And whenever there's darkness, there's the absence of light. So tonight I say that we can fellowship with the Lord, but it's conditional. It's conditional. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, there's a second thing that we can learn when it comes to fellowshipping with God. Not only there's a condition, but number two, there's a Christ. Notice what he says. We've kind of dabbled into it already, but he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, notice this. It is what he says. He says, but if we walk in the light, here it is, as he is in the light. He is in the light. A lot of people tonight, even those who are not saved, whether they want to admit it or not, they are looking for some kind of light. They are looking for something that would fill the void and give understanding on the inside. But tonight, if you want to find Jesus, if you want to find the Lord God Almighty, he is in the light. Because in him, there's no darkness at all. He's not affiliated with darkness. He's not affiliated with sin. the appearance of sin. No darkness at all is found in him. So the second thing we can learn about fellowshipping with God is that there's the Christ. He's right there in the light. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. A lot of folks tonight, they claim they're walking with God. You can go to the grocery store, you can meet somebody in public, and you can spark up a conversation and just start to ask them about the things of God. And, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, everybody's saved tonight. You know that, right? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I know the Lord. A lot of people make claims that they're walking with God, but yet by their works, they deny him. Notice what Titus says. Titus, in the book of Titus, chapter number 1 and verse 16, they profess that they know him. Can we say that a lot of the politics, if not all of them, on the Democratic side, oh, we're saved. Oh, we know the Lord. It was even said today by much of them and some of those that were singing at the inauguration, under God and God bless America. And oh, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. I told my wife today, Christy, I said, as Biden laid his left hand on the Bible and raised his right hand, swearing and making that oath to uphold the Constitution, knowing right well that there's already in the works of eliminating some of those things in the Constitution. I told her, I said, that's almost blasphemy, if it's not blasphemy. Saying that you're going to uphold the Constitution, saying that, in God's name and God bless America and hand on Bible and everything. Listen, there are so many that claim they know the Lord, but in works they deny him. In works they deny him. We're not trying to be judgmental tonight, but Lady Gaga don't know nothing about God. We're not trying to be judgmental tonight, but Jennifer Lopez don't know nothing about the Lord. I mean, listen, they profess that they know him, but by their works it dictates that profession. Tonight I want to say that if you fellowship with God, you're going to be in the light and you're going to have the right kind of works that's projected from your life. There's going to be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering and gentleness. There's going to be a hunger and thirst for God's word and God's people. There's going to be a hunger and thirst to go to God in prayer. If you want to find Christ, the Lord God Almighty, he is in the light. And so tonight we can learn, when it comes to fellowshipping with God, that there's the Christ. He says, as he is in the light. We can learn tonight, when it comes to fellowshipping with God, that there is a condition. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But there's a third thing tonight. We can also learn about fellowshipping with God from this verse, that there's communion. Look what he says. We have fellowship one with another. I believe, of course, the subject here is about God and about walking in the light. And so he's talking about having fellowship with the Lord. And I do want to say and reiterate once again that there is partnership. There is fellowship. There is unity. When a person is walking in the light with Jesus, there's joy. There's peace and patience. There's contentment communing with him. I was thinking today What about those disciples that walked with him? What about those disciples that talked with him? And you remember through the ministry of Jesus, the three and a half years, and after he called his disciples, and they saw him perform miracles. They heard his words. They were beneficiaries of his comfort. They saw his miracles again. They heard his words. They were comforted. He was leading the way. And while he was here with them, they were fine. They were content. But you see, there came a point in time where he was going to die and be buried and ascend back to the Father. And right before he ascended back to the Father, he told them and commissioned them to be of good cheer, that he has overcome the world, the Lord. And he was prepping them for his leaving. You see, he was talking about all of the things. He says, "These things have I written unto you." In the Gospel of John, I believe it's chapter number 16, somewhere around in there, the conclusion of the chapter. And he's drawing the attention to all the things that he showed his disciples and apostles in the 3 and 3.5 years. All the miracles, all of the words he spoke, and the fellowship that they had while he was there. He said, "I'm getting ready to leave, and there needs to be continual fellowship." But you see, tonight, while he was with them, there was no worries, there was no fear, so to speak. Oh, there were times where the strain was on, but he was with them. They knew they were safe. And tonight, as we live for Jesus, and as we strive to enter in this close fellowship, we feel the same way. We know that we're safe. We know that he's in charge. We know that he's in control. But the moment that we step outside of that fellowship, there is fear and there's worry and there's concern and all of those other things. But the moment we step back into that place, the light, as he is in the light, there is communion. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." How about that? And I'll just add this as a tag onto that. When believers are in fellowship with him, believers are in fellowship with one another. So it goes both ways. All right? And then when believers are out of fellowship with him, believers are out of fellowship with one another. Let me mention something else. What we can learn from verse number 7 about fellowshipping with God, we can learn, lastly, there's cleansing. There's cleansing. He says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now, I want you to notice in this last phrase that this is not speaking of justification, because that's something we already have. Justified, never sinned. Past, present, and future sins. Again, John is including himself. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth." That's a present tense word. Cleanseth us from all sin. He's not talking about justification, which we already have, but he is talking about sanctification. He's talking about making us more mature in the faith. He's talking about making us more like Jesus. And so this is an ongoing process. Sanctification is, and when we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, it has a cleaning effect. Our sins are already gone, but he is cleaning us from the damage of sin, from sin being present in us. He is renewing our mind, Romans 12 and chapter number 1 and 2. He is renewing our mind when we walk with Him in the light. He is sanctifying us. He is maturing us, making us more like Jesus. There is cleansing when we fellowship with Him. Now, in John chapter number 13, I want you to notice something here. In John 13, we see that Jesus begins to wash His disciples' feet. In verse number 4, He says of John 13, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter said, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and wash my head. Notice the response of Jesus here. He says in verse number 10, Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Jesus says, once you've been washed, you're washed. But those feet get dirty. Peter said, Lord, I want my hands washed. I want my head washed. Jesus says, you've been washed. But the time you walked in, you've already collected dirt on your feet. Can I say tonight that once someone comes to Jesus through faith and repentance, they are saved. But it's life after salvation. We're not perfect. We're prone to wander and sin. And when we do, and the places that we go, and the things that we do, and the areas we slip in, we don't need to be saved all over again. But we just need to confess. We need to walk in the light. And you see, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, it cleanseth us, the Bible says. It cleanseth us from all sin. And we're being sanctified. Don't you think for one minute that the time that those disciples spent with Jesus, that they were enlightened to the things of God, that they grew in knowledge and grace of the Lord, and then they had opportunity to put it to shoe leather in the world. And of course, Jesus has this example of washing feet. And Peter says, wash me all over. He said, no, just your feet. You've been washed, but your feet are not. Your feet have gotten dirty since you've been washed. So tonight, whenever we come to the Lord of salvation, we are washed from our sins, all of our sins, but our feet get dirty. And then we just walk back into the light. And it's exposed, and we're justified as we've never sinned, and we learn what to do and what not to do. We are cleansed. We are maturing. The more time we spend in the light, the more knowledge, the more grace, in grace that we grow, the more knowledge we have. We know what's expected of us. We want to grow. We want to mature. And then we slip again, and we get dirty again. We didn't lose our salvation. We're already justified. But we confess our sin, verse number 9, and so that relationship isn't clouded. And then we learn from our mistakes and we get back in the light and we grow in the Lord and we learn from Him. And we're reminded that slips and stumbles and heartaches, they leave a mark on our hearts and we don't forget those things. And so we learn and we grow more in that light. So back in John chapter number 13 is exactly what the Lord said in verse number 10. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And so that's what we see here. We see that there's a cleansing. There's a cleansing. Not justification, which we already have, but sanctification. When we're in light, light drives out darkness. And so when we're in the light, we see the things that has to go, don't we? It's because of being in the light of His Word. It's because the Lord showing us some things that need to go is how we mature. But that's all discovered in the light. And so there's a cleansing tonight. We can learn from fellowshipping with God. There's communion tonight. We can learn when it comes to fellowshipping with the Lord. And there's the Christ. He's in the light. And then there's a condition. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, just in case anybody's wondering, no, we're not perfect. Christians aren't perfect. Verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so he continues in verse number 9 and tells us how to get rid of that. That is clouding up our relationship with the Lord. Tonight, the message is simply this. Let us continue our fellowship with God. And verse number 7, as you've heard, I'm sure, down through the years, tells us how to do that. He tells us to walk in the light because that's where Jesus is. There's fellowship there, and there's sanctification there as well. That's the message tonight, and I hope that it was a blessing and a help to you. Meet with us in person if you can on Sunday morning as we use precautions here at the church. Follow us, watch us on Facebook as you do faithfully, and God bless you for that. And we hope you have a wonderful night tonight, and help us pray for our land and pray for this coming up Sunday. And we'll conclude in prayer now. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are. We praise you for what you do, Lord. I pray that the words that left my mouth were understandable, Lord. We have no desire to lead anybody astray. We don't do that. We don't desire to do that. We just want to expose truth the best we can that we might help someone along the way. Keep us all safe. Keep Calvary safe. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. We love you. We praise you. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning. And let the media go well as we have service then as well. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.